We are functioning in our calendar by what is known as the Gregorian calendar, which started in 15th century. Before the Gregorian calendar was in operation, for more than 1,000 years, it was the Julian calendar, a calendar issued by Julius Caesar. For more than 1,000 years, it was in operation. And you know what? If we were still operating by the Julian calendar today, today is New Year's Day. New Year's Day. Yung calendar ng Julian calendar ay nag-uumpisa ng March, March 1 ng New Year's Day nila. It was considered the logical beginning because March was the beginning of spring, yung tagsibol. At dahil dyan ay doon ang umpisa ng kanilang taon. Hindi lamang yan, March was also the schedule of the Roman military for its military campaigns. That's why March is taken from the name of Mars, the god of war in Roman mythology. So you have here a combination of beginning and of war in the month of March. Well, we come now to the part of Amos where there is a call for a beginning, but that beginning will also entail some kind of war. Nagtawag si Amos na propeta sa pagsisimula, sa pagsibol muli ng pananampalataya, ngunit kasama sa pagtawag ay pakikipaglaban at ito'y laging pinagsasama sa kung saan man ang isang makasalanan ay gustong mag-umpisa muli sa Panginoon ay merong paglaban sa kasalanan. At ito ang makikita natin sa bahagi na ating tutunghayan. We have seen so far how Amos directed oracles of judgment against the surrounding nations, meaning nations surrounding Israel and Judah. And up to that point, his hearers, Israelites, would have said amen to his message. But then he dropped a bombshell by showing that the oracle of judgment is not just against pagan nations. The oracle of judgment also applied to Judah. And then next to Judah, Israel. And because Amos's hearers were from Israel, the northern kingdom, he prolonged this oracle of judgment against Israel. Kumbaga, narinig nga nila yung pahayag ng hatol sa mga iba't ibang bansa, pati na yung sa Juda, ang hindi nila inaasahan ang pinakamahaba na pahayag ng hatol ng Diyos ay nakalaan para sa Israel. Ang pinapakita rito, there is no one exempt. Walang masasabi tayo na hindi para sa kanila ang hatol at hustisya ng Diyos. Kung ito'y darating sa mga paganong bansa, huwag asahan ng Juda na sila'y lalampasan at lalong huwag asahan ng Israel na sila'y lalampasan. At ito nga ang naging pahayag ni Amos in the Oracle of Judgment against the Israelites. We looked at chapters 3 and 4 last week, and there we see a series of warnings about the various disasters God permitted to happen and to come to the nation. And yet, in spite of that series of disasters, the nation remained adamant. The nation remained unrepentant. And after the series of warnings, the ultimatum: prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Well, what we see here is that warnings are issued ordinarily by God through messengers before judgment becomes irreversible. Karaniwan na nagbibigay ng mga babala ang Diyos sa pamagitan ng mga tagapagdala ng mensahe bago dumating ang hindi na mapipigil na hatol niya sa isang individual, sa isang bayan, o kahit sa isang iglesia. Nagbababala siya, at itong ginawa niya sa Amos 3 and 4, warnings by way of disasters until ultimatum comes. And now, with the ultimatum is the issue of a final plea. I invite you now to turn to chapter 5 of Amos. Amos chapter 5. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Let's read first verses 1 to 9 and then we'll jump. Amos chapter 5 verses 1 to 9. Hear this word which I take up against you, this lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal. nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and leave, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. He made the Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He rains ruin upon the strong so that fury comes upon the fortress. Let us now jump to verse 14 to verse 17. Verses 14 to 17. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this, there shall be wailing in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the farmer to mourning and skillful lamenters to wailing. In all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through you, says the Lord. So here, an ultimatum was issued in chapter 4. But with that ultimatum, this passage is now a plea to take heed urgently to the final summons of God. Meron ng ultimatum, meron ng huling babala, at narito na ang pamanhik, narito na ang paghahamon sa bayan na tangkilikin na itong oportunidad na ibinibigay ng Panginoon. Ang makikita natin dito ay sinabi ito ay isang lamentation. It is written in the form of a lamentation hymn, a hymn of sorrow, what in literature is called a dirge. Ito'y pagpapahayag ng dalamhati, ng parang namatayan, a time of grieving. And yet the one grieving is the prophet himself representing God. So in other words, the one grieving is the messenger, and the one grieving is the one for whom he bears the message, God no less. Can you imagine God grieving, God lamenting? But that is how Amos represents God doing. Nagdadalamhati ang Diyos. Pero sa pamamagitan niya na itinatawag niya ang bayan sa sarili nilang pagdadalamhati, sa sarili nilang pagpamamanglaw dahilan sa haharapin nilang hatol maliban na sila ay manumbalik sa Diyos. And so the lamentation both by the prophet and the God whom he represented is a powerful demonstration of the appeal. And the appeal is to grieve over your sin. The appeal is to seek the Lord. But neither can you seek the Lord and grieve over your sin unless God is gracious. Kaya kung pagsamasamahin natin yung mga nota na yan, I have this message for us this afternoon. Seeking the Lord requires grieving over sin, which grace alone can bestow. Ang paghahanap sa Panginoon ay tumatawag ng kabagbagan sa kasalanan na tanging biyaya ang makapagbibigay. Seeking the Lord requires grieving over sin, which grace alone can bestow. A message like this should convince us of the continuing relevance of the Old Testament prophets. Yung mga mensahe ng mga propeta sa lumang tipan, patuloy na nangungusap sa atin ngayon. Sapagkat ganito rin ang panawagan ng Ebanghelyo. Ang panawagan ng Ebanghelyo sa bagong tipan ay meron ding panawagan ng paghahanap sa Panginoon. At kung hahanapin mo ang Panginoon, kinakailangan mo ng pagsisisi ng kasalanan. Ngunit hindi natin magagawa yan malibang ibigyan tayo ng biyaya ng Diyos. So exactly that message of Amos to the 8th century BC Israel still applies to the 21st century generation of our time. We need to seek the Lord, and seeking the Lord means grieving over sin, and alas, only grace can give that to us. So let us break this down into those three components. First, the command is seeking the Lord. Second, the condition is grieving over sin. And thirdly, the compulsion is the graciousness of God. Ang utos ay hanapin ng Panginoon, ang kondisyon ay mabagbag sa kasalanan, at ang kapangyarihan ay sa biyaya ng Diyos. Tingnan muna natin yung utos. The command is seek the Lord. Twice in this passage, verse 4 says, seek me and leave. Verse 6, seek the Lord and leave. So clearly, the fate of the nation hinged on the command, seek the Lord. Take heed to the command, the nation may yet live. Fail to take heed to the command, the nation will perish. It's as simple as that. And nothing has changed as far as the key command is concerned. Mag-iba-iba man ang bokabularyo, ang bokabularyo dito ay hanapin ng Panginoon. Pagdating natin sa bagong tipan, ang bokabularyo ay tumawag sa Panginoon, manampalataya sa Panginoon, pero pareho ang susing utos ng salita ng Diyos para sa mga ililigtas niya, kinakailangang hanapin ng Panginoon, sampalatayanan ang Panginoon. Nothing has changed. This remains the key command. If there will be life, turn to the Lord. If you will perish, fail to take heed the command, turn to the Lord. But notice that these two commands are put in contrast with the habits of the nation. What does it say in the negative? Do not seek Bethel. Do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. Now these places are very historic places and even holy places as far as the history of Israel is concerned. But you see, that's exactly the point here. If we will seek the Lord, and listen to this very carefully, being in holy places is not a substitute for God's holy presence. Na ikaw ay nasa isang banal na dako ay hindi kapalit na maranasan ang presensya ng Diyos. Yan ang pagkakamali ng Israel noon, patuloy pa rin pagkakamali ng marami yan ngayon. It's a mistake then, it is a mistake now to imagine that by attending a holy place, therefore I have experienced God. That was Israel's mistake. Don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with the memory such places would bring to mind for the Israelites. What was Bethel? Anong alam natin sa Bethel? Hindi ba dyan kinatagpo ng Diyos si Jacob? Nung siya ay umiiwas na sa kanyang kapatid na si Esau, matapos niyang dayain, siya ay napadpad sa isang ilang at habang siya ay natutulog, nakapanaginip siya, isang panaginip ng isang hagdanan na mula langit ay pumapanaog ang mga anghel sa lupa sa kanyang kinalalagyan. At nang magising siya, ang sabi ay siya ay nanginig, he trembled and he said, God is here. And as a way of honor to God, he called the place Bethel, house of God. And so it's a memorable place. It's a place with historic significance. God met with Jacob, the father of Israel. And what was Gilgal? Gilgal was the base camp that Joshua used in the battle to conquer the promised land. Sa Gilgal ang naging pinakakampo ng pwersa ni Joshua. Habang sila'y sumasalakay at sinasakop ang iba-ibang lupain ng Canaan, bumabalik sila sa Gilgal. Yun ang kanilang base camp. Kaya't mahalaga rin ang Gilgal. Nagpapakita yun ng tagumpay. It's a place that recalled the victory of Israel over the promised land. Beersheba was a place mentioned a lot during the history of the patriarchs. Now, ironically, Beersheba is in Judah. Itong Bethel at itong Gilgal ay sa Israel, pero binanggit na rin yung banal na makasaysayang lugar na kakabit ng mga patriarka, itong Beersheba. Anong sinasabi rito ng propeta? Ang sinasabi niya ay, huwag niyong isipin na kayo'y lumapit na sa Panginoon sapagkat pumunta kayo ng Bethel. O dahil kayo ay gumawa ng pilgrimage dito sa Gilgal, o kayo'y nagpunta sa Beersheba, sapagkat dumako man kayo doon, nakarating kayo sa mga mahalagang lugar, ngunit huwag niyong isipin na sapagkat nagawa ninyo yun, ay nakaranas kayo ng presensya ng Diyos. That was the mistake of the Israelites. They thought that by being in these places, they were enjoying the presence of God, but it was a mistake then, it is still a mistake today. The idea, the tragic mistake to imagine that having done a visit to a holy place, they have had therefore dealings with Yahweh himself. But brethren, there is no change in this mistake. This mistake is still perpetrated through many generations, including ours. You see this in pagan religions. Every year, millions of Hindu followers in India will take a bath in the Ganges River with all its filth because they believe that their gods are descending on the waters of the Ganges. Once in their lifetime, Muslims are required to make a pilgrimage to Mecca and there do honor to Muhammad's tomb. The idea that there's a holy place in which something special happens with their gods. Now, there is something of this superstition even in the name of the Christian religion. Pilgrimages are arranged every year to what they call holy cities. Jerusalem, Vatican for some. But you see, we may see the mistakes of these associations, but this mistake can happen to a Bible-professing evangelical church. We associate God also with a place. And the most obvious candidate, of course, is the assembly of the church. To equate attendance to the church assembly as seeking God is one of the most common mistakes evangelicals can make. Ang malaking pagkakamali ng marami ay isipin na kapag sila'y dumalo sa pagtitipo ng iglesia, ay hinanap nila ang presensya ng Panginoon. Isang malaking pagkakamali. Now, let me make myself clear. Attendance to the assembly of the church is a Christian duty. In fact, I hold further that it is a Christian duty throughout the whole Lord's day. Not a half-day Christian duty. It is a Christian duty for the whole Lord's day. It is a duty that we must maintain. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we must take heed to that duty. And in that duty of assembling with the people of God, there is every means for a genuine experience of God. Naniniwala ako dyan na pag tayo nakikipagtipon sa iglesia, sa kanilang mga panambahan, nariyan ang mga pamamaraan, nariyan ang pagkakataong makatagpo natin ang Diyos sa katotohanan. But brethren, it can also be just a place to have your seat, fulfill a habit, and no more. Pwede rin mangyari na yung pagtitipon ay isang lugar na uupuan mo, gawin mo yung nakagawian, at wala na. And this reminds me of this sobering, and I say one that should make us tremble in the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 10. Then I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. They have come and gone. You see the suggestion there of continuing habit. They have come and gone. Come and gone. Perhaps never missed a Sunday, if it were Sunday. Perhaps they never missed a Sunday. They have come and gone. Maybe this Sunday, they would have come and gone. And then until their day of burial, their being wicked did not change. They were buried as a wicked man, yet they have come and gone in the place of holiness as wicked men, and there has been no change. And brothers and sisters and friends, my challenge to you is make this a matter of life issue. Seek the Lord. Be where the Lord is. Be where the Lord wants you to be. That is what it is to seek the Lord. Twice, this exhortation is made to hang upon life. Seek and leave. Seek the Lord and leave. Not blessings, not mere rewards, but life. You and I know an instinctive priority for life. Halimbawang meron kang importanteng appointment, pagkatapos nakatanggap ka ng tawag sa iyong doktor at ang sabi sa iyo ay your latest x-ray shows a tumor and you need to come to me as soon as possible. I'm scheduling you on this day, and the day he scheduled you to appear to him is the very day you have an important appointment. Now tell me which one you would keep. You can't keep both. Which one would you keep? Well, it's a no-brainer. We will see our doctor immediately. Why? Because we make it instinctive to prioritize life. When there is a life issue, everything else becomes less important. Economic growth becomes less important. Promotion in the office becomes less important when the issue is life. And this is what the Lord is telling the Israelites. Don't make this issue a matter of mere blessings, a matter of mere promotion, a matter of mere well-being. The issue is life. If you don't turn to the Lord, you perish. And this cannot be done in a half-hearted, tame, and lukewarm kind of seeking, like it didn't matter. When it was Judah's turn to be punished, yet there was a promise that for their part, unlike Israel, for their part, Judah will be restored. And the reason is this, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is what made the difference. They sought the Lord with all their hearts. And that's our duty still today. You who have the privilege of a holy assembly such as this church, I ask you, have you found the Lord yet? Or would you be just like that wicked man in Ecclesiastes, come and gone, come and gone, come and gone in the holy place, yet to his burial day, a wicked man. He has not found the Lord. Don't make this another Sunday that you will have come and gone. Today, find the Lord. Seek the Lord. What about us Christians? Tayo mga Kristiyano, alam mo ba yung talagang paghahanap sa Panginoon sa panambahan, sa paglilingkod? Jesus put it this way in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Do you make it a point that you are where the Lord is and you are where the Lord wants you to be in the service of His name as Christians? And do we seek Him? Or have we resigned ourselves perhaps for too long to lifelessness, lifeless worship, lifeless devotions, or perhaps lifeless service? And that's because we may be Christians, but we can be lifeless in our Christian duties. And the command is still the same, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord so that your worship will have life. Seek the Lord so that your service will have life. When we have our sacrament of the Lord's Supper tonight, we seek the Lord so that it may have life. One of my students gave a meditation this week or this past week, and a statement came to me with a strong thrust. He may not have realized it, but he said, we can be too occupied in the kingdom, but not with the king. And how true. We can be too occupied with kingdom work, and yet we are lifeless insofar as our devotion to the king is concerned. Pwedeng masyado tayong abala sa mga pangkaharian, ngunit wala na tayong pakikipag-ugnayan sa hari. Nangyayari kaya iyon sa atin? Panariwain mo ngayong hapon na ito, kapatid. The command is seek the Lord. Now, the condition in the second place is grieve over sin. ang kondisyon upang hanapin natin ang Panginoon ay mabagbag sa kasalanan. The whole passage, as I told you, falls under the category of lamentation. Pagdadalamhati. It is a song expressive of grief. And the grief is expressed over the decimation of the people. Na umunti yung bayan mula raw sa 1,100 na lamang. Mula sa 110 na lamang. Ngunit kagaya rin ng sinabi ko nung nakaraang linggo, hindi ito sorpresa dapat sapagkat isinulat na ito sa Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy already issued covenant warnings that if the people were unfaithful, certain things will happen. And the warnings we studied last week, the drought, the calamities, they were all written in Deuteronomy. So with decimation, yung pag-uunti ng bayan, ay ikbabala rin na rin yan sa Deuteronomy. But the real issue that hindered the people from genuinely seeking the Lord was their evil, their sin. They were unwilling to repent of their sin. And what it tells us, why this is such a hindrance from seeking the Lord is because sin has that power to alienate one from God. May kapangyarihan ng kasalanan na gawin tayong malayo sa Diyos. It alienates us from God. It creates a gap. It creates a distance. It creates coldness to God. Yan ang ginagawa ng kasalanan na pinanlalamig tayo, inilalayo tayo. Kaya nga ang pamanhik dito ng propeta, chapter 5:14, seek good and not evil that you may live. Kasi sinabing una, seek the Lord and live. Now this time, if you will seek the Lord and live, what it entails as a condition is seek good and not evil. Now, is this teaching salvation by doing good? No. 1,000 times no. This is the language of repentance as a condition. The people were using other things as evidence of God being on their side. Yung sinabi ni Amos sa kanila, you're already saying God is with you. Well, Amos is correcting them, if God will truly be with you, this is the evidence. You seek good and not evil. You hate evil and love good. In other words, you have repentant hearts. Ayan ang ebidensya na ang Panginoon ay tunay ngang suma sa inyo. Maaaring nga ginagamit nilang ebidensya, kagaya nung nakita na natin nung nakaraan, sila'y sumasagana sa ilalim ng rehimen ni Jeroboam II, sumasagana yung kanilang kabuhayan at maaaring yun ang kanilang ginagamit na ebidensya na nasa atin ng Diyos. Pinapaboran tayo ng Diyos sapagkat maganda yung ating ani, maganda yung ating kabuhayan. At ang sinasabi ni Amos sa kanila ay huwag yun ang inyong gamitin. Kung kailangan nyo ng ebidensya na ang Panginoon ay nasa inyo, ito'y makikita sa pagsisisi, sa pagkabagbag ng puso sa kasalanan. Before anything else, God is to be treated and recognized as holy. He will not compromise with sin. And that is why ever His condition for anyone turning to and seeking after Him is to grieve over one's sin, to repent. One of the most beautiful invitations in the Word of God was by the prophet Isaiah for the future captives of Judah. He said this invitation, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Ang panyaya ay lumapit kayo sa Panginoon. Bumaling kayo sa Panginoon, subalit yung pagbalik na yun sa Panginoon ang kahulugan ay iwanan ninyo ang inyong mga kasalanan. Mabagbag kayo sa inyong mga kasamaan. At mahahabag sa inyo ang Panginoon. A wonderful offer of complete pardon, yet a promise of mercy even to the vilest, but with radical repentance. So how does this go as a process? Let me put it this way. It means take your sin to God, and then turn to God away from your sin. Take your sin to God and turn to God away from your sin. Now, listen carefully. The invitation is not first to deal with our sins by our own strength, and when we have attained some measure of success doing so, then we may turn to God. Eh, legalismo iyon. Huwag mong isipin ang pinapagawa sa atin ay may gawin ka sa iyong kasalanan, talunin mo ang iyong kasalanan, gapiin mo ang iyong kasalanan, at kapag nagawa mo na yan, lumapit ka sa Panginoon. Eh, hindi po yun ang pinapagawa. Yan ay legalismo sa, it's legalism by the back door. What we are being told is, in the vileness of your sins that you cannot do anything about, turn to God. Turn your sins to God and He will pardon. And when you receive the grace of God, then you may turn to God away from your sin. But it's not that you do something about your sin first, turn to God once that is done. That's not the invitation. The invitation is turn to God with all the vileness of your sins. And the one who has come to Christ will not be and cannot be indifferent to sin, but he will grieve. So the key command is seek the Lord. The condition is grieve over your sin. But ultimately, the compulsion to do that, yung kapangyarihan na gawin iyon, ay ang biyaya ng Diyos. The graciousness of God is our compulsion. Listen to the language of verse 15. It may be that the Lord will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. It may be that the Lord will be gracious to us. O kung pakinggan natin yan, hindi ba parang may pag-aalinlangan yata? Parang nagdududa, maybe. But that is not the case. This is not the tone of uncertainty. Rather, it is the tone of the undeserving. Hindi ito lingwahe ng hindi nakatitiyak. Ang lingwahe ito ay yung alam niyang hindi siya karapat-dapat. Which means that God's grace is most genuinely honored in the posture of the undeserving but believing. Talagang napaparangalan ng biyaya ng Diyos sa postura ng pagtanggap na hindi tayo karapat-dapat, ngunit sinasampalatayanan pa rin natin. That's exactly what we're going to do when we have our Lord's Supper. To admit that we do not deserve any drop of the blood of our Lord. Yet, we believe that it is by that we are cleansed. Yan ang nakakalungkot sa ating panahon na palagi pa rin ginagamit ang salitang biyaya ng Diyos. Ngunit masyado nang inaabuso, binabaluktot. Now, there are a lot of doctrinal issues involved, but at the root of it all is pride and self-righteousness. And if I'm speaking to anyone here who somehow still holds to a stitch of your own righteousness as a means to come to God, you will not understand grace at all. Grace is understood and honored by those who admit that they do not deserve any merit from God. And yet, God has the power. God has the power to overturn our vilest, most undeserving condition so that we may have grace. Kaya ang punto rito ay itong salita ni Amos, God is gracious. This is the irrefutable answer to every objection of sin. Sin will give us many objections why we can't, why we won't. Ang dami ko ng kasalanan, tuloy-tuloy, paulit-ulit, mabigat. At ako'y nagkakasala sa kabila ng aking nalalaman. At maraming sasabihin sa iyo, may sinabi si Apostol Pablo sa 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that Satan might take advantage. He has his devices. Ang ibig sabihin, ginagamit ng Diablo yung iba't ibang kaparaanan para pigilin tayo sa paglapit sa Diyos. At ang sinasabi ko, ang panagot diyan ay itong katotohanan ng the Lord is gracious. Mapagbiyaya ang Diyos. Huwag mong isipin, pag malakas-lakas na yung resolusyon ko, lalapit ako. O pag marami-rami na yung aking kasangkapan, lalapit ako. Huwag kang umasa sa mga ganong bagay. Ang tanging dahilan na lalapit tayo sa Panginoon, ito man ay para sa kaligtasan, ito man ay para sa buhay ng ating mga gawain para sa Panginoon. The ultimate answer, the irrefutable answer, is that God is gracious. Ang Panginoon ay tunay na mapagbiyaya. Maging sa pinakamasama na sa atin, pinakamasamang nagawa natin, itong ipananagot natin. Ang bawat objection ng kasalanan ay huwag. Pigilan mong sarili mo. Tingnan mong sarili mo. Ba't ka lalapit sa Panginoon? We were discussing this morning about the evil of slave trade, and I told you about John Newton, one of those slave traders. And yet at one point, he was converted. And when he was converted, he was the one who truly appreciated the grace of God to him, as manifested by perhaps the most familiar evangelical hymn of all time, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And when John Newton died, he himself had his epitaph prepared even before he died, and the epitaph read, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel which he had long labored to destroy. To his dying day, he felt how undeserving he was. And yet he could lay claim to the grace and mercy that God has abundantly given to the vilest offender like him. It's not Amazing Grace that we will sing as our last hymn to this message, but I'm sure a hymn inspired by Amazing Grace. It says, grace that is greater than our sin, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. So last week, reflect on our sinfulness, and we must turn it into a conclusion that we do not deserve anything, and yet let the compulsion be the Lord may yet be gracious. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, O Diyos, na ang mensaheng ito ni Amos sa kanyang kapanahunan at henerasyon ay manatiling matunog at sariwa para sa amin, sapagkat ganito pa rin dumarating ang mensahe ng iyong salita na kailangan ka naming hanapin. Hanapin sa pamamagitan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ngunit ang paghanap at pagsampalataya ay laging katambal ang pagsisisi, ang pagkabagbag sa kasalanan, at ni hindi namin ito magagawa maliban ang biyaya mo ang siyang magbigay nito. At nawa nga, Panginoon, ay manawagan ka sa bawat isa ng kanyang pangangailangan na panariwain ang aming paghahanap sa Panginoon. And when we seek the Lord, the major mistake that is so often committed even in those bygone days and to this very day is to mistake that the place is associated with God, that thus attending to a place is thought as experiencing God, and nothing could be farther from the truth. For not Bethel, not Gilgal, not Beersheba, indeed not even Jerusalem, can be places which will substitute for your presence. We can be so flawless in our attendance to juries, to all the motions and paraphernalia of a worship service, and yet have no God, like those wicked men said in Ecclesiastes, they have come and gone in the place of holiness, and yet to their day of burial they remained wicked and no God in their lives. And Father, we do not want that kind of tragedy that is compounded by so much privileges. We pray, Lord, for those here who have the privilege of coming to a place of holiness such as the assembly of the church, that they will not belittle such a privilege and that they will not discount the opportunities that come their way Sunday in and Sunday out. And may this be a Sunday when that opportunity will be seized by them in faith. And when anyone turns to the Lord, the condition is to turn, to repent of sin, to grieve over sin, to have that spirit of lamentation. And we pray that such will prevail in this present hour. We pray, Lord, that we would realize that your invitation is to turn to you, but let the wicked man forsake his way. And this we cannot do of ourselves. What you ask us to do is turn ourselves in all our sinfulness to you, and then turn to you away from our sin. And only your grace can do this. And thus we ask that you will show forth the reality of what Paul said, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That indeed, as we sang, grace is greater than our sin. And as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, may this thought ring in our minds, in our ears, that we are recipients of grace, which is greater than our sin. There is every reason to thank the Lord, and every reason so that grace may truly shine is that we see the darkness of our souls, the darkness of our sinfulness. Yet from or in that darkness, light shimmered in powerful grace to save us. And may we therefore return to you the thanks, the honor, and the continuing life of following you and seeking after you. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.